I'm so excited about how my business is growing, but along with it, my daily life has gotten crazy, like managing my employees and taking sales calls, all while driving my kids to school, soccer practice, and trying to keep my head on straight. I don't want the growth to stop, and I know we need to create a better online presence to do that, but we haven't written a blog, posted on social media, or touched our website in months. I'm not even sure I know how to move forward, so I just haven't. But then I found The Breezy Company, a monthly marketing service subscription that provides experienced and consistent teams with your most demanding marketing tasks through an efficient and streamlined process. It's so simple. I just chose the plan I needed. They matched me with one of their amazing Breezy team members. They onboarded me, and my company was off to the marketing races. I finally feel confident that I have a team who has my business's back and is working to promote what we do, drive leads to our pipeline, and make our brand look amazing. Now, back to work. The Breezy Company, scalable marketing teams.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, little sound check. Let me hear you.
No.
Great. All right, moving on. Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is an unbridled and untamed with my buddy Andrew. And what was you telling me a little bit about before we got rolling here?
There's so many. Oh, I got to take my hat off because now I got my hat off, all the thoughts can come rushing in. Like a blood after a hurricane. It's come flooding in. We can just talk and talk and talk. What you want to talk about?
Whatever you want to talk about, dude. You had a lot on your mind, it sounded like.
Let's talk about something. Went camping.
You went camping?
I went camping, yeah, I did. I went camping Friday and come back Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It was an experience. It was fun. You're going with me next time. I don't care. Next time, if you say you don't want to go, I'm just going to walk up to you with a napkin and say, hey, does it smell like chloroform to you? And you know what you're going to say?
Nothing.
Ka-boom. And then that's when I'm going to wrap you, tie you up, and we're going to go. And you're going to wake up on a boat.
I've woke up in stranger places.
You have?
Yeah. That'll be okay.
Yep.
Wake up. For real though, wake up on a boat. That wouldn't be terrible.
Not too bad. You just wake up and see me. But hey, sunshine.
One of the weirdest places was. Woke up. Remember when y'all couldn't find me at the Sandpiper Beacon? Bathroom.
I walked like 2 miles on the beach because somebody told me you went walking down the beach, and I was like, "Crap, he's going around."
Sid finally found me in this one of the hotel rooms on the second floor. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
In a bathtub.
Yeah, passed out.
Yep.
I woke up. I had hit my head on the tub when I was, you know, the pressure
yeah,
of taking a piss just knocked me back.
And I fell into the toilet. Sometimes it can be like a pressure washer. You can clean something if you want to.
Next thing I know is Sid come in there. Hey, man, wake the fuck up.
You know, sometimes, too, that pressure builds up pretty good for stupid people like us because we don't pee. We just fight it
until
it's too late. And then we blow holes in porcelain. But yeah, it was fun though. Like we went and put in right outside of Double Springs on a Simpson Fork, and it hits into a big river. It's a river. It's not no creek. And it would have been a lot more enjoyable if the water would have been more swift towards the end. But it was real slow water, so it was Slow paddling. And it rained on us yesterday from about 10 to about 2:30. Which is, I mean, it wouldn't, it, that's not the worst rain I've had on me, but it was still not, I mean, it's not fun to get that wet.
What are your thoughts on being called out in a rainstorm in a boat?
I mean,
do you try to get out and get cover, or do you just keep going? You'd be like, I'm on the water anyway.
If it's lightning, you don't want to really be close to the bank. You want to be, I don't want to be, because if you're in a river, you're already going to be pretty low, because that water has cut a groove in the ground. Most everywhere we go is elevated around us too. It's like rock cliffs and stuff.
I don't know. So I just, I feel, I always that, felt vulnerable on a river.
Well, it's going, well, if you're on a river, that could be different. But like where we was, there's trees and stuff that are a lot taller than where we are. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's going to strike up there. Now you might have to worry about something falling on you maybe, but if like a tree gets hit and it shatters it, and
what's the craziest thing?
Final destination stuff. That's stabbed.
That's ever happened to you while camping?
What happened last night?
Okay.
It's tied for number one. This was more scary than just craziest, really, but this is probably one of the scariest. Because when we got there, we set up camp.
Did you see monkey?
Huh. Why you say?
You see a monkey?
I see a monkey. I see much monkey. Everywhere. Big monkey. He 10 foot tall. He no fun. He rip you. He rip arms off first. Beat you deaf. He stink. Smell him from a long way away. But now we set up camp. And we got it set up. I set my hammock away from who I was with because I didn't want to snore and keep him up all night. And I do snore. I tend to snore. So. Especially in a hammock because it's hard to lay on your side or stomach. And I went to pee on the other side of my hammock. And I'm walking down through there and I'm hearing something. I'm like, what's this noise I'm hearing? And then I shine my light and there's Copperhead. I'm like, oh, don't move. Be real still. And then I holler at my buddy. I say, hey, man, I need you to bring me that gun. And he didn't believe me. He thought I was just messing with him. It is hard to take him serious sometimes. But I was like, no, I need the gun. And then he laughed again. But then I remembered we had a code word. And I said, Pumpernickel, I need the gun. And he's like, oh, shit. And he come over there. And I shot it. And
I need the gun.
Yeah, Pumpernickel, I need the gun now. And then I chopped his head off with a machete. And we disposed of the body or whatever. But then, I guess during the night...
Why don't you go with your samurai sword?
Because machete
more practical?
It is. And
of course it is.
I could definitely...
Walking around with a sword out there.
I definitely wouldn't have no people talking to me on the water if I had a samurai sword strapped to my back like Leonardo or something.
Yeah, next time I go camping, that thing, I guess it'll be with you. I want to go back up there to Bankhead, too.
That's pretty.
I recently drove through there going to Huntsville. It was a beautiful forest.
Yes.
And that was just the main drag of it.
I didn't get out. Till you get on the water. Like I said, there was like parts of the river that had watered out the stone wall, and that there was, you could float up under it and be like in a little cave or whatever. It was amazingly beautiful. But anyway, so that night we are going to bed. Well, I'm going to bed. I always go to bed first when we go camping. It's easier for me to go to sleep when I can hear people talking, because then I know that there's nothing coming to eat me. So I get in the hammock and I'm going to sleep, and I hear something every once in a while to wake me up, but I slept pretty good. Well, I get up one time to pee, and I got a new hammock that I'm trying out, and I don't like it at all because I can't get out of it. It's hard anyway. When I got out, as soon as I put my foot down, I felt something go over my toes. And it was like slick and like really cold. And
you had no socks on?
No. No, I'm camping. I don't put no socks on.
The hell's wrong with you?
What do you mean? Why would I want? I get my socks dirty if I get on the ground and there's no point in it. They're going to get wet when you get in the water if you wear socks.
You crazy as hell.
I don't wear Not especially when I'm in my hammock. I don't want all that dirt and stuff and crap all in my hammock while I'm trying to sleep.
Where the hell is that dirt going to come from?
If you get on the ground and you're wearing socks, your socks are going to get dirty.
Put your boots.
I do. My shoes are right there when I get out. But I was resting from trying to get my fat butt up to where I could get out of the hammock. And when I put my foot down and it's on the ground for the first time is when I felt something go over my foot.
Oh, I got you.
So I'm like searching in my hammock beside me and I find my light and I shine and I see another copperhead just going off the bank. But I heard him before I saw him. I heard him as he was going over my foot. Like I heard him, what he was saying to me. He was looking at me and he was going, "I'm a snake.
Mm.
I'm a slithery snake. And you killed my partner. I'm going to let you pass, but you need to leave these parts."
Mm.
And then when I shined my light and I saw him go away, I was like, okay.
I asked you a question.
And, well, hang on. As he did that, like when I farted, and I had to, like, clinch. So that helped because then I didn't freak out and move because they strike on movement. So it was like, so that was a good thing.
Yeah.
Is a good thing.
Yeah, Mr. Miyagi in the background.
Those mountain,
look at the eye.
Yeah, those mountain house camp freeze dry foods really keep you good and cleaned out. They got a lot of carbs, a lot of fiber.
I ask you, like when you two questions, man. When you leave the house, how far do you have to be traveling before you pack a bag? Like a change of clothes.
How? What? I'm going somewhere?
Yeah, and you might not be staying. You might just be there for the day. You know? Maybe you're going somewhere to see a show. Do you bring a pair of clothes?
No.
Change of clothes?
Mm-mm, most of them I don't. Mm-mm.
I guess I'm weird. I don't know.
If I go, like, for a day, if it's just a day thing, yeah, man. If I go for 2 days, stay overnight, I'll bring one set at least. But otherwise, if something happens during the day, and I'll just go somewhere and buy me something.
Fair enough.
Done that a bunch.
I got you.
Done that a bunch.
Question two.
Uh-huh.
Like, how... Like, you're in the Bankhead Forest. This is a national park, essentially, right?
Yep.
Is it okay to kill the animals in the park?
You know, that's a funny thing you should ask, because I wondered the same thing about that, but the guy that I went with is really good friends with the man who is the game warden in that area now. He used to be in Fett, but he's there now. But he's from Fett, so the guy I went with knows him really well, and he asked him a bunch of questions like that. Because he asked me, he's like, "Can we bring a gun, you know, this and that?" And he said, "Yeah, it's fine." And so that's what he said. That's what the game warden said. I mean, I ain't kill no alligator or nothing.
Yeah.
Did see some gar. The fishing was really hard. I didn't even bring nothing, though, because I lost my wallet, so I lost my license.
Yeah, what all kind of wildlife did you see besides snakes?
man, we really didn't see that much. Birds and fish. I mean, this one was a very... I can tell that there's...
You think the weather might have threw it off?
Well, it might have, but I think, too, that water is so deep for so far that I think boats go up and down it a good bit. And I mean, we wasn't out on near nobody's house when we was camping, but they wasn't very far away neither. So we did pass a couple houses. It was like Deliverance looking. I was a little row faster.
Is there a like camping movie?
And that's in Winston County too, by the way.
Yeah.
So you know what Winston's by too, and that's Walker. They think they're the free state. Free state of Winston. It's not Winston County. It's the free state of Winston.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. They actually say that they did this before Texas even thought about doing it.
I've never heard of it till today.
I've never neither, but it's been around the longest. I looked it up. It's been around the longest. That's an old town, like an old county. But it's the free state of Winston.
How about that? There's 51 states.
That's right.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah, learn it.
It's the weirdest little history.
Yep. I wish I could show the pictures through this microphone, but we haven't reached that technology yet.
Well, you could take a picture of it and put it up on the page.
Might do that. I might send you some.
Yeah.
Let people know how pretty it was, beautiful it is. I think everybody should. That one too would be a
good
one.
Or just put it on your own Instagram and just tell people where to go. Yeah, you just tag it. Tag it.
But I think and that where we went this past time, it would be a good place for a beginner, especially because it ain't nothing hard about the water and nothing, you know. As far as finding,
I'm wearing my damn Timberland boots. Not Timberland, but it looks like a Timberland boot.
Yeah.
Hell, it might be.
You gonna, I don't know. Why are you boating?
Probably.
They're going to get wet. You know that, right?
I don't give a damn.
You will the next day when you
put them on. It's some outdoor shoes. What's some outdoor shoes called? Them outdoor boots.
Mucks? Muck boot? Or like a rubber boot? Or?
Yeah, I might wear the rubber boot. That'd be hot as hell, though.
Yeah, it'd be pretty hot. What I do, I just wear, like, I got a pair of tennis.
I'll show you them boots. Man, they're in the closet. I'll show you when we get down. I'm not describing them good. They're not like nice boots.
Yeah.
But they are like nice for hiking and shit.
Yeah. I got a pair, like my work boots are Keens and they look like hiking boots. And I got my old pair and I wear my old pair because they're waterproof. They'll get wet on the outside, but the inside of them won't. So I wear them.
Yeah, and back to the sock, I'd have to have like four or five. Man, because I'd have to have socks. I wouldn't want to be barefooted. And I'm not against people who do it. I think it's an unnecessary risk.
And maybe that's what's wrong with you. Do you know how much energy, good energy you can get from the earth by just walking on the grass, walking on the ground? Have you ever looked into that science? That's a science.
I mean, I walk barefooted in my yard.
Do you do it completely naked? Because that's the way you got to do it.
No, I don't do it completely naked.
Then there's the problem.
All right, we went there.
Hey, all I can say is you can't prove me wrong until you try it.
I'll call you at 3 a.m. Hey, this butt-naked yard walking really works. Dude, that is a witching hour.
Well, I tried to tell you.
There's a bunch of red eyes looking at me.
Oh, me. It was. You're definitely going next time though. But
I haven't been. I haven't been legit camping in a long. It's probably been 6 years, man. And it wasn't like totally legit. It was like those Christian retreats that are off in the woods. And granted, we was like in a log cabin, so I wouldn't call it like the experience.
Yeah.
And then, like when I was legit, like in a tent in the woods, was God, I'd say 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Before I moved to Mobile.
Yeah.
Now, I did, like, some day trips in Mobile, like, would go places to canoe or rent a tube.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, hell, there's water everywhere. You don't have to camp.
Mm-hmm.
Just go do it, and then you go home.
Yeah, there's a bit, definitely different levels of camping. And we come up, ours is a...
So, is the scale 1 to 5, or what's the scale like?
We call ourselves backwoods paddlers. I mean, this is probably like one step up from being like making your own shelter. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we basically set up our shelter, but we don't make it with what's around us. And I would say that people who do that, that's like the most extreme camping.
Yeah. But
ours would be a couple.
What about those who didn't even use any kind of structure?
Well, all smart people are going to. The ones who just lay on the ground, probably named Aldridge.
I'd bring a guy.
Ooh, this good spot. Make fire. Make fire. What about rain? Who care about rain? Lay on rock. Rain roll off.
My coworker, he does the best impressions of me. My name is Alan. I work at Salt for Utilities. You and him both do that same thing. You gotta cross your eyes when you do it too.
I'll just stick my jaw out just a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
A little drool coming
out. If you're gonna be an Aldridge now, you gotta go all out now. Oh, that's good. we're talking about structures.
Yeah, structures.
So what are you talking about?
Like a lean-to on something, or like actually taking some trees and cutting them up and stacking them in a way that where it makes like a lean-to, something you can sleep under. Like they do on that show Alone that I'm telling you about. They'll make a shelter out of what's around them.
Yeah.
They don't bring their shelter with them like we do. That's what I do. I bring my shelter with me, and it's not really...
I'd bring a damn steak, too.
A steak?
Yeah.
We brought four of them last night.
That's what's up.
You know, and that's the thing for people who do camp. Here's a tip. You can go to Walmart, and you can get, like, little 6 to 8 ounce steaks wrapped in bacon in, like,
Well, you about to change somebody's life.
Vacuum-sealed packs, and you can get four in a pack. And you can freeze them puppies. And then, you know, the day that you go camping, put them in a... You got to have some kind of cooler, but we always have something to keep something cold.
When y'all camp, do y'all mainly stay on the water? Is there a lot of...
There's more floating than anything. Most of the time, yeah.
Okay.
But you can freeze them puppies. And we ate them last night. And so, you're talking about... Jeff made, like, this special rack to put it on. I just looked at it. I was like... I had just put like two big logs on the fire, and they was like charred all around, you know. I said, "Put mine on fire. Put mine on log."
Hmm.
He said, "Huh?" I said, "Put on log. I am man. I want bark burnt into my steak. That's how I brush my teeth at night."
Golly, two in one.
Yeah, but it was probably, of course, camp food is, man, so much better. Like, I tried to eat one of the freeze dries at home, and I was like, it's like a caca. But when you're camping, you know, you got to think, when you get camp set up, by the time you get there and you set everything up, you're pretty tired by then. Friday when we went, where we put in, the ramp is washed out like halfway to the water. So we had to tote our boats one at a time down a hill that made me think I was having a heart attack.
I think there's two school of thoughts on this. There might be more. What, when y'all set out, do y'all paddle upstream or do y'all go downstream?
We go downstream.
So you work the way back?
No. We left my car where we was going to take out at, and then I got my car, come and got his truck, and then we come and got the boats.
That's what's up. Just like we do when we flip the channel.
Si, senor.
Oh, yeah.
Need to work with this little papi.
Yeah, because I was like, I don't understand why you would go downstream first, because what if something happened? Now you got to work your ass off to get back to your vehicle if you didn't park
like
that.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah. That'd be a damn nightmare.
I did.
They make movies about that kind of stuff, don't they?
Mm-hmm. I did. I have done it before, only because I didn't know. That's what I'd be doing, and it's kind of too late when you get in the water.
Yeah, I mean, if you had a trolling motor, it wouldn't be that bad.
I remember I took my canoe up to North River in Tuscaloosa, and my buddy that I went with was like, "Yeah, man, we can go so far up here, and there's like a little waterfall, and the fish love it, man. They wear it out, you know. They're all over the place."
Mm.
So we paddle and paddle and paddle and paddle and paddle. We ended up paddling 7 miles upstream in 4 hours, or four or five hours. I had an aluminum paddle. My hands were silver. I looked like the silver surfer,
because
all the aluminum had wore off just me constantly paddling. And when we got there, we didn't catch one fish. I was so mad. I opened my ravioli and I ate it with my fingers, aluminum sheen to them and all. Like, well, at least it looks like a spoon. Out of the water, boy. Because my fingers was literally, they were shining silver, like the Tin Man. I was like, I got my spoon right here.
This is gonna hurt.
Hope it ain't got no lead in it.
This is how mad I am at myself.
I won't ever do that again. That was tough. I was sore for a year. Felt like.
All right, what else? We were talking about something else, too, before we got started. You had another topic that was pretty dope. What, was it about your train of thought and how it's been working better?
Oh, yeah. Cause, well, what I was saying was that, like, I asked you the question, where do you think thought comes from? Because we can't think of what we're going to thought.
Right on.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, when a thought comes into my head, like, so I want to know where
it comes. You don't think you have the original idea, you think it's given?
What, give me an answer to where it comes from.
Well, it depends on what you believe.
How?
Well, I think if you was more atheistic in your worldview, you would say the universe or whatever power you believe in.
Well, what about people who are not in tune enough with their religion to be able to walk that close with it, to know what it says and know that that's the thought they need to have? Where does those thoughts come from?
The great manipulator, dude.
Well, he can't be everywhere at once. He's not
omniscient. That's what he's got legions of demons for.
But I bet they're ugly.
I'm just saying, I think, like, good thought, bad thought. I'm not saying, like, angel, demon on your shoulder.
Well, not everybody who isn't that close, who isn't that close in their religion.
And that's why you have to have the discernment.
But not all of them are evil. There's good people who don't believe in a lot of things. They just believe in living. Where do their thoughts come from?
Like I said, what do you believe? What's your worldview? I can't answer that. I mean, you'd have to ask them.
It comes from your subconscious, which is controlled by another subconscious, which is also controlled by another subconscious.
Welcome to everything you've ever learned.
No, for real though, I think your subconscious has a lot to do with it, because I think in order for some thoughts to just come to us, you have to have a code about you built into you, like a computer code. You know what I'm saying? Like whatever you program yourself to think, whatever you program yourself to be, eventually that's what's going to happen. Eventually that's what you're gonna tap into that, and you're gonna think that way without even knowing it. It's gonna be automatic.
What do you think? Like maybe what if it? Let's say they believe in horoscope. Uh huh. And like whatever they believe or they read that day for that day, they believe it. So that's what their subconscious is focused on. Do you believe it could work like that?
Probably. Yes, probably. But I don't think we can control our subconscious at all. That's why it's called a
subconscious.
I think we can, like, well, not necessarily. Did I say manipulate it? Because I think there is some ways that you can do.
Do you think dreams have anything to do with it?
Well, that's what I was about to say, because I know, like, subconscious, I think, definitely controls a major part of your dream. But you've heard of lucid dreaming.
That's right. That's what I was about to bring up.
Where you write it
when
down.
When you figure out you're in a dream, and then you start.
And doing whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I did that for a long time. Like, I would write down, as soon as I woke up, if I had a dream, I would write down everything I remembered. And then every night before I went to bed, I would read every bit of what I had dreamed, no matter how long. I think mine got to be like 10 pages, which is a lot in my
head. That's a lot to remember.
Yeah. But I would read it all. And
was it writing a story?
I mean, not really. It was a bunch of gibberish. Moron like me, I was having stupid dreams. But by the end of it, you know, you have a dream where you're fighting or punching somebody, and you go to punch them, and it's like,
yeah. Yeah. Or you go to talk and your tongue falls out. Yeah.
You know? Well, I experienced where when I would punch people, they would go flying.
Oh, you're like, just giving yourself superpowers?
Across the room. But the crazy thing is, you know, you can't dream about it. They say they, whoever.
Who the hell are they?
They are. Say that, I guess scientists say that you cannot see a face in your dreams that you've never seen in real life. They say that. So the crazy part about that is if you lucid dream, that means you're going to be able to start remembering your dreams. So you're going to remember who's in your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to where people in my dreams was people I didn't really like. And I'd punch them to the moon and back.
I was in those dreams.
Or I would sling them into the sun.
No mercy.
I shall never. Sorry. Most of the time when I speak Japanese, it's because I'm scared. I did that the whole camping trip. When I'd get out to like do something on the bank, I'd be trying not to fall, and I'd slip, and I'd be like, trying my best not to fall. And it didn't work. I thought it would.
My thing lately is I bust my ass about once a week at work. So I'll just call.
You need to do like that too.
So I.
You imagine running at a guy screaming like he's Japanese. Laying on the ground.
Rolling in it.
Tell your boy.
What the hell's wrong with this guy?
Come on, man. You ain't burying your ethnicity. Wow. You'd be more of like a angry Scotsman if you was going to fall. But I can't believe I did it again. This is my third time this week. My arse is hurting.
I just started, every time I bust my ass, I'll call my coworker, help. I did it again. I'm too embarrassed to move.
Oh, yeah.
It's cold.
I'm gonna act like it's serious. Until you get here, call the ambulance.
Don't call them. I don't want to pay for the fine.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Dreams.
What do you dream about?
It's different. The last one that, I remember a lot of them. Sometimes I think I have to work now. I don't write them all down. I've gotten lazy. But,
you can just do voice memos, too. That's the easier, actually. Just get your phone and say what you dream.
Yeah.
That's the easy one.
Yeah, too. I could do that.
Then you can just listen to it.
Right? I don't like doing that. I don't think that way. Okay. Does that make sense?
No.
Oh, that's it. If I write it down, I'll know it. Oh. If I just hear it, it don't mean anything.
So you're one of them spared people.
Yeah, I guess so.
Monkey half a C. Or Demember. It's one of them Aldridge things. Like laying on a stone in the rain.
I guess.
We no need roof. But I do need paper and a crayon.
I draw a picture.
To write, draw a picture. Remember dream.
It's premonition.
Well, one thing about it, nobody will know what the hell you're talking about.
That's why. Yeah.
What is this? Is this a boat? That's me. What's this? Is this the sun? And that big flower, bigger than me.
Oh. You playing Jumanji? Now, some of it, like lately, like the latest one that I thought was like worth writing down was like it was a kind of prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm crying from laughing. And it was about, and this is why I don't agree with, like, I think you do see people that you don't know, that you hadn't seen.
Well, see, the explanation that the scientists give on that point is it is somebody you know, you just can't remember enough of the dream to be able to recognize who it is that you know. Their face will be somewhat disfigured. It'll be somewhat different. But it manifested from one person.
Oh.
Like, it could take you and make you look like the guy off the Goonies. I mean, I would know that's an Aldridge, but... I mean, if I had a dream about that and I saw you like that, I'd just be like, here you go. Here's your baby Ruth. And I would throw it and then run. We got RUNNOFT. That ain't a king size. It won't take him long. God.
Oh, this is a roast.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just
easy.
Too easy.
Oh my god.
Oh, readjust. Oh, this is better. I feel more intimate with you. Listen to me. AMSR.
Don't spit on it. Oh god, it's happening. He's gonna die.
That's what she said.
Oh.
Don't spit on it.
Michael Scott over here.
I don't know why those jokes been making me laugh so much lately, but man.
Does it come and go for you? Like, it gets old, but then like a month later, someone does it, and it like just reignites. Yes. It's kind of like a Chappelle skit.
It is, really. We're talking about dreams, though.
Yeah, dreams.
You believe that some of you said prophetic.
Yeah,
because it's poetic.
Prophetic.
Prophetic. Mm-hmm. So, like, I believe I've had those kind of.
To where, like, it was down to a conversation with a specific person that I wasn't real familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if I didn't hear the conversation in that dream, I wouldn't have known how to brought it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I believe that happens. I mean,
because I don't think we ever would have got there. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I think that,
and that's vague as shit. But I mean, it's kind of a personal thing.
Yeah. Well, I know I've had dreams when I'm trying to help somebody to accomplish a certain goal, and I didn't really know how to go about it. I had tried to go about helping them and couldn't really succeed. Nothing seemed to be working. And then I had a dream one time that I was outside of the house that they live in, and there was a gigantic snake, like, just circling it, but it was, like, super fast. It was, like, anaconda movie snake, like, huge. And I can look inside, and the snake ain't worried about me at all. It's not coming at me. It's not looking
at
me.
Did that movie deal with you when you was a kid?
I never watched it.
You never seen it?
Never seen it. That snake had nothing, and it had no intentions of even looking at me. But I could see them inside crying, scared to death. So I reach for a gun, and I go to get a gun, and I'm trying to shoot the thing, and it's a double barrel shotgun for some reason. But the barrel's bent straight up at the end. Like, you know how you see superheroes bend gun barrels and stuff? This one's bent up straight at the end, and I'm looking at it. I'm like,
this is useless.
Well, dang. This ain't going to work at all. But what I pulled from it was I'm trying to use the wrong things to help that person.
Oh, man.
That's what I got from that dream. And come to find out, I went about it a different way and ended up helping them a little bit. Maybe not as much as what they need, but it's not my... I can't do it for them, I can only be there for them. So that I can plant that seed and I can try to water it the best, but I'm not going to be the one that makes it grow. I don't have that power. See what I'm saying?
That's right. I'm just a seed.
Yeah. So that's what I got from that dream. So I definitely believe, especially, of course, my belief being in the Bible too. How many times did God talk to somebody through a dream? Look at Joseph. I mean, he wouldn't have been where he was if he wouldn't have been bold and telling what his dreams was about. Because some of them, the dreams he had, people didn't want to hear. They didn't want to know that there was a 7-year famine coming. You know, stuff like that is deep.
You know, lately with proselytizing or ministering or just sharing the gospel, uh-huh. like however you want to put it, lately, I don't preach. Uh-huh. I might just share one thing and then just let it sit.
Yeah. Sometimes it works better that way.
And then, I mean, like, sometime down the road, they'll be like, hey, remember when you said this? I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just depends if they're listening. A lot of people don't listen. You ever notice that?
Well, people listen to what they hear the most that comes from you.
Yeah.
So they can only hear what you put out.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I mean, I understand what you're talking about. Because the way you can't be...
Just a simple truth.
You can't be real bold with a lot of people nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
So it's hard.
It's touch and go.
Touch and go thing. But it's not... You can still do the little things and just increase the amount of little things sometimes, I think.
You know, I believe in...
Because it's all about habit.
I believe in love languages, man.
Yeah, definitely.
And I believe in like learning other people's language.
Mm-hmm.
That way, if you screw up, you can redeem yourself. Yeah. Not just for that cause, but just if you want to do something nice for that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if they had a bad day.
That's why it's so important to fellowship with people.
That's right.
You know, people in the world today, how crazy it is when they talk about how the church in general is falling apart. And, you know, or I hear it a lot anyway. There's a lot of churches closing. That's a fact. I mean... A lot of pastors quitting, getting kicked out and stuff. And it's just, how do you expect anything good to happen if nobody's doing anything? Can't you just sit back and expect stuff to happen? Let me tell you something I did. And it's kind of opened my eyes a little bit. Let's see. It was this past week. It was on Tuesday. A guy I work with goes to Apostolic Church. And I went there. He said they was having a revival. I asked if I want to come. I was like, yeah, man, you know what? I will. I will come. And I didn't bring Jessica with me because, for those who don't know, Apostolic is a Pentecostal. They consider themselves to be the original Pentecostal. Because, like, you know, Church of God, they'll say that's Pentecostal. But there's something about associations. And I don't know. That's not important. But anyway, I get in there. I sit down, and I bring Carly with me. I didn't bring Jessica because she ain't ready for that kind of thing. So, and we're sitting there, and I'm going with the mindset that I feel like a lot of Baptist people who go to Baptist churches will have, that a lot of it's going to be show, a lot of it's going to be not real, you know, or whatever happens. And it's crazy to me because when I caught myself thinking that, I was like, you know what? Churches today, different denominations are almost like completely different cultures. Because you look at Baptist churches, and most of them, everybody's going to be sitting there not moving. You know, even during worship service, they're just going to be, you know, one person might hold their hand halfway up. A lot of people might be carrying the TV, you know, or showing how big their fish is. But either way,
wow,
that they're going to be doing stuff like that. I was doing hand motions. I'm sorry, y'all can't see this. If you're worshiping and you're holding your hands out, just kind of low about waist, and but your palms are up, you're carrying the TV. Okay, that's what that's called.
That's what it looks like.
And, yeah, and if you hold your hands, you know, kind of mid torso out, and you got your palms facing each other, that's showing how big your fish is.
The youth ministers. Some people
do
that.
Some people lie, and they do it out a little wider.
Oh, wow. But
everybody knows your fish wasn't that big, so you put it back in. But you, even as a young kid, what are they doing that? And when they're in the sanctuary and when they're in worship, if they make any noise, what do they do? Shut your mouth. Be quiet. Don't move.
That scared me a little bit.
You know what I'm saying? But that's what they do.
It made me want to be quiet.
You're beat. I mean, if you're training a kid to be like that in church, that's what they're going to be used to. That's what they're going to be accustomed to. But I went to that church, and, man, they knew how to get down. And the thing is, like, whether it's fake or not, is it better to do that and actually not... Not next, because it's not my place to judge whether it was real or not. I don't know how happy for the Lord they are, but they look pretty dang happy. And they were showing it. And that ain't, to me, that's better than not showing it at all and just sitting there not doing anything for him during worship time. In my eyes, that's what I took
from Is there not more than one way to worship?
Oh, definitely. I'm saying, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I'm not saying all, like what Baptist people do is completely wrong. I'm just saying that there's a lot of judgment been cast on the Pentecostal from a lot of the Baptist people that I've talked to.
I think that's wrong
about that.
I mean, there's jokes about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, in the same thing is like, you know, just because maybe a Baptist is a little more conservative with dancing or being emotional.
Yeah.
That might be a personality thing.
Mm-hmm.
That might be why they go to that kind of church, because they don't like being around it.
Yeah.
You know, when we grew up, was you one that, did you like going to the club?
The club?
Yeah. Was you a club? Did you enjoy the club?
Never really go, but.
Did you like it?
I had fun, yeah.
Well, that's probably why you enjoy a Pentecostal service. And that's kind of the way, like, people ask me about, like, Flavors Christianity. I was like, when you was a teenager, did you like going to the club? Yeah, you sneak in there all the time. You'd love Pentecostal church.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you'll have a ball.
Really don't. I only went to like two clubs.
Now, and that might be a god awful analogy. I don't know. Yeah. What do you? Is it?
I just think that if you're a Christian and you believe what the Bible's true, that I believe not. It doesn't have to be every Sunday, but you need to show how appreciative you are of it more than just.
What if it was in your tithing?
Tithing is separate from worship. It is a form of worship.
It's a form.
It's a form, but there's a lot of forms that I think we need to do. We don't need to just do one form of worship. We need to do as many as we can.
So it's important to you to be expressive?
Expressive.
Yeah, to clap your hands and say yeah?
I believe it would. I believe that if I feel it, and I think that I really agree, and it's to a degree that I'm in love with that idea, yeah. And I think it's good, yeah. I mean, and it wouldn't be to just show off. It would just be to more of like celebrating with each other. Because most of the time when that kind of thing comes up and you do say amen, does it not make you happy? Does it not make you be like, yeah, that's right, that's right? And that's, you're just celebrating the fact that it's the truth and it's not going to change and that it's nothing but great. Yeah, I think if we did it more, we would realize it more. We'd realize how powerful it is. We become closer. We would grow. Because I think within denominations, there's spiritual maturity levels with all of them. And I think some of them are way ahead of the others.
Home maturity, sure. So being expressive leads to closeness with God.
It's better than holding back. A lot of people dance for God, but you don't see them in Baptist churches.
So
why did they dance?
So it's like saying that if you love me, you'll show me?
We should want to.
Why does it just have to take place inside the building?
Well, because it's not going to take place outside of the world, more likely.
I think it does to your ministry.
Yeah, but there's ministry and then there's worship. We're supposed to go out
into the world. It's a form of worship.
Oh, ministry, yeah, it definitely is, but it's a ministry is not the same as like singing a song or as far as when you say go out the world, I'm thinking, you know, trying doing nothing but reaching the lost, being outside the building.
What if
it can happen anywhere? Where two or three are gathered, Jesus can show up. Jesus will be there. Where two or three that know him are there, he'll be there. So it can happen anywhere. It doesn't have to be in the building. I'm talking about the church.
That's where judgment comes from. Two to three people. That's talking about making decisions within a church.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even looked at that.
Mm-hmm. If you like the context of it.
Oh, yeah?
A lot of people do use it. Like, I've heard it used in services. It comes from pastors all the time that, you know, they'll say, where two or three are gathered in his name.
You know.
And you know, they talk about, like, praying in number, right?
Yeah.
Which I believe is a powerful thing, and it works, but because it's like a movement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. We can get into partitioning, but.
Well, I got a question for you though. Well, let's see. Who danced for God and sang to him? Was it David?
Yeah, naked.
Why did he do that?
To express his love for God.
Exactly. And that's what I'm thinking is, like, if you ain't truly expressing your love, you're quenching the spirit. You could be.
I think that's exactly what you're doing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what made me question. Is like, why don't we worship like that? Why don't we be happy about it? Why don't we mean what we're singing?
Because you feel like you got eyes on the back of your head.
Exactly. And that's because that's the culture within the churches. There's cultures within the churches that's not right. Just like how we say it's not right to eat dogs, but John Hall says, holy good sweet sauce. I mean, it's a culture thing.
It's cultural appropriation is appreciation. Thank you.
I'm just saying. There's cultures within churches. And it's crazy. I don't think it's right. There's a lot of things that ain't right. Like me.
Well, it's not perfect. You know, they always say, what I've always been told is, like, when you find the perfect church, don't join it.
Yeah.
Because the moment you join it, you'll ruin it.
Mess it up.
Correct. But that's kind of a weird saying.
There's a lot of weird sayings. I don't know if it's testing my faith, or whatever, but I've been looking at.
How many different, like, churches have you been to, like, since, like, let's just say Southern Baptist churches? Did some of the messaging pretty much sound the same?
Yeah, well, yeah, but I've been to a lot of Free Will Baptists too, so there's differences in that.
Oh, definitely.
Too. So.
Well, that's not.
And that's one thing that is interesting to me. We could talk about it real quick. You know, at the in Revelation at the end, it says anything any man who adds to or takes away from this, his name will be took from the Book of Life, or the Book of the Lamb. Book of the Lamb's Book of Life. What is that Lamb's Book of Life? Is that the book that is talking about? It can't be the book that's talking about everybody who's been born. Because if your name was going to be took from that, if you added to it, that would mean you would die right then. Everybody's going to die anyway, so why would it be took from that? And the only thing I can think of is that is talking about the book that gets your way past St. Peter at the pearly gates.
That's exactly what it is.
So, and you know, Southern Baptists believe we can't lose our salvation, and it might not be, that might be the only way you could lose it. But then you get to looking even deeper into it, is how do we know whatever translation you're reading, that it hadn't already been changed drastically? Because there is copies out there that it doesn't match up with a lot of what I grew up on. But what did I grow up on? I grew up on a Bible that was put together by Emperor Constantine or whatever his name was, with him and 40 other people. And they decided what order it was going in, what we was going to get to see, and the rest of it they locked up. And a lot of it's still in the Vatican, in some of their vaults where nobody can go into. The reason I say all that is because I recently ordered the Book of Enoch.
Oh, gosh. Here
we go. And started reading it. And
be careful with that book.
That book's mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned in the Old Testament. It's mentioned in Peter, talking about the Book of Enoch.
Be careful with that book.
Let me tell you something about it. I learned a lot, and like some of the other theories I've heard have kind of like confirmed it, I guess, in a way. But it talks about the sons of God. The sons of God that failed,
of men.
And that created the Nephilim, which was the giants. They had sex with the women of the earth because they thought they was beautiful.
Well, that's referencing Job as well.
That wasn't the only thing.
You know, timeline-wise, Job isn't far from the creation account if you look at it. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like
Job's older.
You know,
than
the Old Testament is not in order.
No, Job come first before any of them. It's one of the oldest.
That's right, yeah. But I'm just talking about, like, if you wanted to put it on, like, a timeline of, like, when it happened in history.
Yeah. Well, when I said something about Book of Enoch, and you said, oh, better be careful, why'd you say that?
Because there are a lot of, I think that's why it's not a part of the canon.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things in the Book of Enoch that don't line up with tenets of the faith.
Have you read it?
No.
I'm going to let you read it.
I don't know if I want to read it.
Well, see, the thing is, you believe in Matthew and Mark and Luke, don't you?
Absolutely.
Why do you believe in that?
Different perspective.
But do you believe in it because we found old texts of it, and it's verified that old?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's exactly
right. So, like, those are on the Dead Sea Scrolls, right?
That's right. That's right.
Did you know that majority of what's on the Dead Sea Scrolls is the Book of Enoch?
See, there's a lot of conspiracy about the Book of Enoch, too.
Yeah. Well, what I've read of it so far, because it's actually pretty big. It's a pretty hefty book, but it talks about the sons of God. Well, it names them. It names all of them. And it tells that not only did they have sex with
women. Ain't that the way that Peter wrote about it in his letters?
I haven't did that comparison yet. But what the, each one of them angels taught men something. Like Aziel taught them how to cast spells and how to do things like that. Another one taught them how to defend themselves from those spells. Another one taught them how to read the earth and the land. Another one taught them how to read the seas and the oceans. Another one taught them how to do something else. Like each one of them taught a separate things. And I don't know if you remember that theory I told you about mythology. And how that there's a guy who thinks that the mythology gods was actually the sons of God who fell, and they was gods because they had somewhat of powers and they could do stuff. And what if that they was the mythology group? Like that was the like Zeus was Aziel. He was the most powerful one, and like the one that taught them about the ocean and seas was Poseidon. Or, you know, something like that. That was kind of deep. That got kind of deep.
You know what I liked about some video games a lot?
What?
You ever played Diablo?
Yes.
Who was always there to help you? What angel?
Was it?
Aziel. That, I mean, it was different representation, but like...
Yeah.
The way Enoch puts it's the way that I believe in mm-hmm. sons of God, yeah. Nephilim. I mean, I don't know. You want to talk about like some of the wonderful old things of the earth, and I know like we can carbon date it and all that, but I wonder like how many of these people were still around. They lived to be so stinking old, man.
Yeah, like Adam himself was 936 years old.
You know, and it slowly kept getting
great grandson.
Yeah,
I mean he was around right before Noah, actually, right before the flood, or Noah was born is when Adam died.
Noah lived like
he was over 100.
I think it was like 337. Fact check me on that.
He was pretty old.
I love studying like early Genesis and like the early parts of Job when it's doing some pretty cool historical stuff. It's kind of building you a backdrop of how things used to be.
Mm-hmm. The whole translation thing.
But I mean, ain't it crazy, like, just going to the Book of Enoch and even maybe the way that you found out about it, and, like, we have these discoveries that keep popping up, that keep confirming the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think archaeology is just dope.
It is.
Except when you find a mummy tomb. Don't open that.
You'll get...
We'll need to have Brandon Fraser back.
Yeah. We don't need that. What a Tom Cruise. He could do another one.
You like that one?
No, but... He could do another one. Yeah. Try to redeem himself. But the translation thing has something that's bothered me here recently. Because, like, you don't... Even when it comes to the name God in the Bible, you know...
There's different ways.
That ain't his name.
It's Yahweh.
It's Yahweh. It's Jehovah Jireh. That's his name.
My provider.
When it was translated, the reason that they used God, you know... That was just because so you could comprehend who they was talking about. But the word God is derived from the Greek word goad, which stands for goat. What does a goat represent?
The people who ain't going to heaven.
The devil. That's what it represents. You know, and that kind of stuff you get to think about, it kind of scares me. Even the word Jesus wasn't created until they translated it into English. It was always something else. The Jews called him Yeshua. The Greeks called him something else. I can't remember what they called him. They called him something else, but it wasn't his original name. If I introduce you to somebody and I say, hey, this is Alan, what do you want to be called? Alan.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want? What do you expect to be called? Alan. You don't expect to be called Elena. Or, you know, just because of where you're at. And that kind of thing, it'll eat on my brain.
I took most fascinating class with the missionary taught it. He had spent a lot of time in the Arabic country. I want to say, like, maybe Saudi Arabia. I can't remember now. I have to look back in the notes. But I, was one of those classrooms where, like, his slideshows was, like, his personal... It was his autobiography of, like, what he's done in the field. It was just fascinating stuff. So, like, it's in a binder up there. I like...
Oh, crap. Oh, God. It's coming.
But he's, like, he's well-versed on Islam and, like, the different sects of it.
I gotta go back. Blow my nose.
Okay.
Or I'm gonna do this.
Yeah, I mean... Holy shit. COVID. You good? So you get to sneezing, huh?
Huh. Can't stop it.
I bet that freaks people out.
Alright.
So... He's well versed on, like, Islam and the different sects of within the Muslim faith, you know, like Suri and different sects of it, jihad, all that different stuff, and also on the history of it. And, you know, where Muhammad was, he was in Mecca, which was just the trading post of that part of the world during that part of history. So you had all these different people who... would know the story of Jesus Christ. And a lot of the, if you read the Quran, I mean, you can see elements of the Bible represented, but the name's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it would call Mary, Jesus's mother, Martha. Like, they would be just small.
Yeah.
It's like someone had heard the story, and then they messed up retelling one part.
Yeah.
You know, just that it's like or, it's like playing telephone.
That or it could be lost in translation.
Yeah, exactly. Because like you know, you're getting Jewish accounts, you're getting Greek accounts, you're getting Roman accounts, and all these different worldviews are reporting on this Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
and then like here comes Muhammad.
Yeah,
you know he's in Mecca where the trading post is, and imagine like hearing all these different perspectives and just trying to like draw up. Some kind of history.
And the thing is, whatever is being drew up in, wherever it is, those the languages, so many things that look like something can mean more than one thing. So even when it's being translated from, like Greek, I know some things have more than one meaning.
And you know, he couldn't write, so he had to have, like, he was telling this, and like his wife was writing it down for him. He was illiterate? Is that no? He could read. No. He just couldn't write. Well, I don't know the word.
I said Aldrich.
Oh yeah, there it is. Perfect. Yeah.
Need better crayon.
Oh, I'm broke. Silly me.
Mom, mine doesn't have the sharpener on the back.
I'll use my pocket knife.
I do it on rock.
Oh no! I don't need red crayon. I have blood.
That's one thing I've been interested in here recently is learning Greek, trying to.
You know, I got books on it. If you wanna,
I'll like a beginner one. If you,
I'll teach you what I know. It's well enough to parse scripture and translate it for yourself.
That's what I want. And, you know, I didn't know it till the other day neither. You know how some Bibles will have verses, but then it'll have stuff in parentheses? You know, that's because somebody, a scholar, added it in later. Why are you adding stuff to the Bible?
That's a good question. Well, we found more of the Dead Sea Scrolls, so we have a better collection.
Yeah. And I hear a lot of preachers talking about how that the Bible's not contradictory and this and that.
But I don't believe it is.
Who put it together?
Men.
Men. Over a long period of time.
But who was it inspired
by?
They
took stuff away from us.
Well, yeah, you got King, was it King George? Yeah. King James himself. That's why we had that version. Yeah. There we go. It's historical.
Like, there's a bunch of books that I don't know about.
You know what my favorite translation is?
What?
RSV. It's hard to find.
RSV? Uh-huh. I know ESV.
It came. That's where ESV came from.
Is it? Yeah. I've heard ESV is like one of the closest to being.
Do you like NIV?
Correct. Huh?
Do you like NIV?
I've read one, yeah.
You know the difference between ESV and NIV?
What?
NIV is word for thought with their translation style. Okay. Meaning they'll take a word and let's say English is a fairly weak language when it comes to being expressive. Mm-hmm. You know, beautiful just might not be enough sometimes. And we don't really have many words that go a whole lot further than that just ain't damn cheesy.
Yeah.
But Greek is a very beautiful language because, like, when you read a word, like, there's more than one way to say it. Mm-hmm. And so they do word for thought. ESV is word for word. Whatever it says is whatever it's gonna we're putting down.
Yeah.
We're not elaborating on anything.
Mm-hmm. Glad you told me that. I didn't know that.
I believe reading both are important. I mean, that's how I check myself in my study. Mm-hmm. Like, I study in ESV, and I read, like, for pleasure, like, in my truck at lunch or whatever in NIV. But I do all my studying in ESV. It's kind of like I fact-check the way that I'm perceiving it because NIV is word for thought, and that kind of leads me to believe, like, well, maybe I'm kind of thinking inside of a box, or maybe I need to open up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe that's not a good thing. I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting, no doubt.
Anyway, I think that's a rather a good place to put a pin in it.
Put a fork in it. It is done.
All right. Well, we're out of here.
Shut up, you stink.
News and notes. Thank you so much for listening to Porch Talk, subscribing, rating, and reviewing. If you're unaware, I don't have a big marketing team or I don't have a whole lot of ads out there on the web. I have you. You listen, you tell your buddy, and I mean, that's how it grows. So thank you for keeping us grassroots and very organic. Keep doing your part. I would ask that you would rate and review. It literally only takes 10 seconds. You can do that. But we're going to get on out of here right now with Cold Hard Truth by Star Masi. Peace out.
that.